Well, what a week with our global outreach and just hearing all that God is doing, the amazing things around the world in a world where we just see so many news items that we go, oh my goodness, it's overwhelming at times. God's family is growing, it's reaching out, it's making an impact. And so if you were here this week, you got to experience some things. You'll see the Feast of Nations here. And we had that at all three of our campuses, Olmsted Falls on the top, Middlebrook Heights. And then guys at Lorraine Correctional, you had some great Congolese food. Mary was there for that, but just neat. And then our kids on Wednesday evening, they visited four different countries. This was visiting Senegal. They actually had a live goat. They did indeed, as Thomas there, one of our residents. And just really thankful for what God is doing. Here's the question that people might have. When they go, wow, Grace Church, did I hear you guys invest over $1 million in missions, like global outreach every year? And that would be true. That's a lot of money. You pray, you send people out, like some long-term. Is it worth it? With all the sacrifices that are made, is the return on investment, is it worth it? Let me start with a story. The last couple of years, our broader Alliance family of 2,000 churches in the U.S. has been celebrating what's happened in other countries through global outreach of 100 years. In other words, in 1923, 24, 25, there were missionaries sent out to different countries for the first time. And now in six of those countries, in the last like 18 to 24 months, they've been celebrating their 100th anniversary. One of those countries is Cambodia. Back in 1923, two couples were sent to Cambodia, Arthur and Esther Hammond and David and Muriel Ellison. Just these two young couples, they were in their 20s, they go to Cambodia and they begin to learn the language. They translated the Bible into Khmer, they started a little Bible school, and they launched a little church. In the first 47 years, from 1923 to 1970, it was very slow going. There was a lot of illness, there was a lot of setbacks, a lot of hurdles, and there was less than 1,000 believers after 47 years. And they sort of wondered, again, like you could say, is it worth it? Well, from 1970 to 1975, the church took off from less than 1,000 believers to 10,000 followers of Christ. It was amazing. They were really thankful. But then some of you know what happened in Cambodia in the late 70s. Anybody remember the movie? The Killing Fields and the Khmer Rouge came in, and 80% of believers were martyred for their faith, and they went down from 10,000 to 2,000. But God wasn't done. From 1980 until today, when they celebrated their 100th anniversary not long ago, they went from 2,000 believers in Jesus to over 300,000 followers of Christ in the nation of Cambodia. 220 Alliance churches. And God is writing an amazing story. So at the 100-year celebration, there were thousands of people gathered. One of the people that was there was a daughter of one of those first couples, the Ellisons. They had a little girl named Helen about 15 years after they arrived. She's about 85 years old now. Mary and I know her. Helen and John Ellenberger now are their names. And Helen was seated on the platform next to the Prime Minister of Cambodia. Even the unbelievers in that country have been so grateful for the medical care and the literacy and the education, all that these international workers have done. And Helen, she drank all this in, and here's what she wrote. She said, "If my parents could have seen the celebration, they would have just been rejoicing, and I think they did see it from heaven. As far as the eye could see, there were people who were there to praise the name of Jesus and to thank him for 100 years of the gospel in Cambodia." People prayed, they have given, they've served, they've sacrificed. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? What do you think the people in Cambodia would say? 300,000 plus followers of Jesus who say, "We've heard the good news, he's changed our lives. It's worth it." I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians, a letter that's written to a group of Jesus followers in the city of Corinth, Greece, and also to us. And what Paul talks about here, he's talking about Is it worth it? Is your giving, is your generosity worth it to make a difference among people that we might never meet this side of heaven? And we want to see what he says. If you didn't get some notes on the way in at the round tables, you can go to our website and just get the notes for the message here. The app you see there on the screen gives you more resources, all kinds of things. And again, guys at Lorraine, it was great to be with you not long ago, and just so thankful for you. Welcome to you as well. Here's the context for this chapter. There was an extended drought in Jerusalem. You'll see on the map here, it's in the lower right-hand corner. And there was a drought there, and because of that, a famine. It's about 50 AD, not long after Jesus' resurrection, less than two decades later. And Paul is over in Asia and close to Europe, and he's trying to gather funds to make a difference for the people back in Jerusalem. So he writes to his friends in Corinth and says, hey, would you be willing, I know you will, to give to those in need, many of whom you may never meet, but you're gonna make an impact. So to encourage them, to encourage us, he gives some compelling reasons to be generous. And if you have your notes from the bulletin, you can follow along there. But let's read the first nine verses in this chapter, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm reading the New Living Translation today. Paul writes, I really don't need to write you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem, for I know how eager you are to help. And I've been boasting to the churches in Macedonia, that's the northern part of Greece, that you in Greece, southern part of Greece, Corinth, were ready to send an offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. But I'm sending these brothers to be sure you really are ready, as I have been telling them, and that your money is all collected. I don't want to be wrong in my boasting about you. We would be embarrassed. I like how Paul is just very direct. And not to mention your own embarrassment, if some Macedonian believers came with me and found that you weren't ready after all I had told them. So I thought I should send these brothers ahead of me to make sure the gift you promised is ready. But I want it to be a willing gift, not one given grudgingly. Remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives how? Cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. Friends, here's the big point. Your generosity makes a difference. It really does. I find at least seven great reasons in this passage here to increase our impact and reflect God's heart. If you're being generous, like with your finances, this is gonna be an affirmation for you. And sometimes we need that to go, yes, that's why I do what I do. But if you're like, not really, that's not like part of my journey. I'm not a very generous person. I hope that you'll just be inspired today to go, I'm gonna take steps in that direction. Like, I'm gonna get on the journey. And I'm gonna start being the kind of person who really reflects God's heart. So let's look at these seven reasons to be generous and see what Paul says here. Number one, when you give, you motivate others to give. Here's what he says in verse two. He says, it was your enthusiasm and giving that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. Have you noticed how there's a contagious element in giving and generosity? You hear the joy of others in giving and their enthusiasm, and you're like, wow, I want to give like that. Like they're just rejoicing over what's happened, or like it might not even be a lot of money. It's like the fourth grade, you know, student who empties out their piggy bank for another child in the class who has cancer, and they're like, I want to give everything. And you go, wow, God, I want to be like that. And you see these things that go viral, and you think, wow, your giving has the capacity to motivate other people to give. I've seen that in my own family. I love to give. I married someone who is more generous even than, like, she married just a really generous person. And we see that happen, like our kids, we haven't said, you guys have to do this, but we just see a generosity in them. Like it becomes contagious. Taking inventory on this one, we might ask ourselves this, am I giving in such a way that my example motivates others to give? Do they see my example and are they stirred up to go, I want to be like that? Paul goes on. He wants us to know that in God's economy, you always harvest more than you plant. In other words, you can never outgive God. Listen to what he says here in verse 6. He says, remember this, a farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop, but the one who plants generously will get a generous crop. I mean, it's like an obvious farming principle, right? And God will generously provide all you need, then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. He will provide and increase your resources. He's saying this, he says, if you plant a few seeds, you're gonna get a really small yield. If you plant a lot of seeds, you're gonna get a really large yield. And he compares that to giving. He goes, it's the same thing. He goes, when you give, you're gonna see God's blessing in your life. I'm not just saying like, you know, certain TV preachers like, you know, send me a gift, you know, and you're gonna, God's gonna multiply that 100-fold and you're gonna be like the richest person. Sometimes it's financially, sometimes it's a blessing in another area of your life, but the principle stands that God loves to bless generous people. He might provide in an unexpected way. Like you're like, where did that come from? Like, it's just amazing. Mary and I have experienced it many times, just like, God, we're just gonna give you praise for that. That's just you. He might keep your appliances running longer, or your cars or whatever it might be. There's all kinds of ways that he can help you reap more than what you sow in terms of your generosity. Heard a story from a guy here at Grace. He told me he wanted to give to a project, but he goes, this is like, generosity was not really a part of my life. And he said, it really challenged me. Like I wanted to give, but I didn't know how I would do it. And here's what he wrote. He said, I was in my 20s at the time, newly married and barely making ends meet, but I wanted to trust God. So we prayed and decided on an amount to give. We knew we had to rely on God, and something happened we would never forget. The next month, my supervisor called me in and told me that I'd be getting a promotion, and my raise was 10 times the amount that we had pledged. We couldn't believe it. God taught us something that has guided us in our giving ever since. Here's the inventory you can take on this one. What is my level of generosity? What is your level of generosity? Show about your trust in the promises of God that when you scatter seed in terms of generosity, that God will always, in some way, it might not be financially, but in some way, he's going to just reward you for that. Paul goes on. Like other scripture teaching, he wants us to know that giving shapes your heart to be more like God's. In communion, we just celebrated that the fact that God so loved the world that he what? He gave, right? I mean, God gave and he gave everything. And here's what it says in verse 7. It says this, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Why does he love that? Because when I give cheerfully, I'm reflecting his heart. Like he gave and he gave so openly. Inventory on this one. What does God think of my giving? Is he going like, Jonathan, way to go. Like, I love how you give so cheerfully. Or might there be some disappointment in his heart about a failure to be generous? Where he's like, John, you're starting to hoard stuff in your life in that area. You know, sometimes I'll hear people go like, you know, John, I want to be generous, but my finances are like sort of a wreck. Like I'm like right here, like my nose is barely above the water. I want to do it, but I can't do it. If that's you, you're not alone. Not alone at all. But you don't have to stay there. You can say, I'm going to get some help here. And there's a line in your notes that says this, being generous is difficult when your finances are disordered. Get wise advice from trusted professionals. Like, learn from others. Proverbs 15 says, plans go wrong for lack of advice. Many advisors bring success. You go, what do you mean advisors? Like, I don't have money to pay an advisor, or I'm not in that place right now. Here's one real practical way. This Wednesday night in this room here in Middleburg, 7 o'clock, there's a course called True Financial Freedom. It's free. And we've had probably 500 people go through this so far, either in person or online. Mary and I did it several months ago, and it was just really, really helpful. Your finances don't have to be a wreck. It's sort of like Mary and I will go to a marriage class or read a book or something. We have a great marriage, but we just want to keep on growing, right? And same with your finances, whether they're not in a great place or you're like, I'm doing pretty well, or that you say, I want to learn to do better so that God, I can manage what you've entrusted to me. Because in the end, God owns it all, right? He owns my 401k, he owns the vehicles we have, he owns my house. I'm there to manage it and to say, God, I'm a steward of what really belongs to you. And so if finances, you're going, I wanna do it, but I just can't do it right now, take the step and start that class this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Number four, when you give, you care for people who matter to God. Verse 12 says, one of the good things that will result from this ministry of giving, the needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met. So let me give a word of affirmation here. You are a generous church family as a whole. I mean, it's just, I could give a lot of examples. Let me just give a couple. That right there is something from our Thanksgiving offering. Some of you have wondered about, hey, last 16 months ago, we did this offering for a housing shortage in Cleveland for people in need in partnership with Building Hope in the City. And the Grace family gave over $220,000. I mean, it's amazing. So how's that going, people have asked. Well, a lot of bureaucracy in Cleveland. So it looked like this for a while, but now they have been doing some construction. Now it looks like that. If you're wondering, like, where is this at in Cleveland? It's in the Clark Fulton neighborhood. Those two circles represent phase one and phase two. And there's some wraparound programs. There's an after-school program you see there. There's a micro farm. There's just a lot of things that will help residents to say, we're not just giving you housing, we're giving you other resources to help. And in the end, here's what it will look like. Those homes will look like that. They're multifamily homes, and they're just gonna be a huge gift to about 28 families. Thank you for your giving to help make that happen. It's fantastic, yeah. You've also given gifts to area churches. In fact, every year at Grace, there's over $100,000 that's given to helping start new churches in Ohio and in our region. And so it's just been, that's been awesome. One more example, a few months ago to Thanksgiving offering, you gave over $40,000 to help that end child sex trafficking globally and through Remember New. And there's a curriculum they're developing. They said, hey, we need some churches to help us out. And you gave over $40,000. Is it worth it? For every child, every youth, every adult, it's worth it. There's going to be huge impact as a result. Thank you. The love of Jesus in action. Another benefit of our giving, your giving generates praise to God. Verse 11 here says this, when we take your gifts, Paul says, to those who need them, they're gonna thank God. They're gonna joyfully express their thanks to God. They're gonna give glory to God. Three times he says those things, thank God, joyfully give thanks to God, give glory to God. They probably did not even know the names of the people who had given, but they're saying, God, whoever did this, whoever gave, God, thank you, God, bless them. How good you've been to stir in people's hearts that they've given. Some inventory on this one. Am I prompting people in other places that I may never meet? Children who are at risk, people who need medical care in parts of the African continent, others who don't know how to read and there's gonna be literacy programs. Am I causing people in faraway places who may never know my name or speak my first language to praise God and say, God, thank you. I joyfully give you thanks because somebody somewhere gave so that I could experience your goodness. Are you investing in that kind of way? Man, don't you want that in your life? Reason number six, generosity develops and proves your faith. Verse 13 says this, your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Man, look at that. Our level of generosity proves the genuineness of our faith. It reveals what matters most. And we can say the corollary of that is true. If I'm not generous, it shows something about my lack of faith or the genuineness of my faith. I'm going, God, I want to follow you, but I'm going to hold on to everything that I've earned and it's all mine. And God's going, it actually is all mine. And you're just the manager. Are you willing to trust me? Friends, money is a great gift. You can provide for people you love. There's things you can do. You can enjoy the things that God, you know, some of the pleasures in life. But in the end, if we live for money and all of our money is spent on us, we're missing out on something that Paul says proves the genuineness of our faith, and that's generosity. Here's a key truth from the Bible. You can't take your money with you when you die, but you can send it on ahead. Jesus said it. Paul affirms it, that verse in 1 Timothy where he says, I want you to store up for yourselves treasure where? In heaven. How do you do that? You send it on ahead by giving generously. And he says, when you do, it's like an investment that lasts forever. So here's how we can take inventory in this one. What's my portfolio in heaven looking like? Like recently you might be going like, holy cow, the stock market's going like all over the place. Bitcoin, if you do that, you know, you're like, I don't know, everything feels like it's really thin ice. But friends, when you invest treasure in heaven, it says no one can touch it there. Like it's good, it's secure. You trust him to do that, to be true to his word? One more benefit to giving that Paul mentions. I love this one. I don't think about this one a lot, to be honest. But Paul reminds us that the recipients of your giving will pray for you. Here's what he says in verse 14. He says, and they will pray for you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace that God has given you. They'll pray for you with deep affection. I was reminded of an experience I had several years ago. I went with a team of Grace to a country in North Africa. Creative Access, they call it, because you can't just go in there and say, hey, I'm here to tell you about Jesus. It's because it's the dominant religion. It would not go well. But they're showing the love of Christ in some really practical ways. So we were there, and the Grace family provided a sound system for what would be like the first church facility in that nation of its kind. It was remarkable. So team from Grace goes in. I stayed away from all the wiring because I would totally screw it up. And they put it in there. And when they turn on this sound system and the believers were there and they started to play music, I mean, they were worshiping and dancing. It was fantastic. And numerous ones came up to us and were like, thank you so much. Like, we're so grateful. Like, we're going to be praying for you and for the Grace family. I thought that's exactly what Paul says here. He says they're going to pray for you with deep affection, praying for you, thanking God for you. Some of you gave to that. You've got people in North Africa who are praying for you and thanking God for you. Friends, that's what it means like to be part of a global family and to say, I get to be a part of what God is doing through this family of churches, the Alliance. When you give to global missions, like you go to our website and just put global missions, 100% of that goes to what God is doing around the world. Why? We're serious about the Great Commission. We take seriously the call to go and make disciples of all nations. That's his assignment for us. It's some of the final words that Jesus spoke before he ascended to heaven. Here's the problem. More than 4,000 people groups have little or no opportunity to know Jesus. They won't be having communion today because they don't even understand that someone came who lived a perfect life and died in their place. It's an injustice, really. So we send international workers, about 700 of them, because not everyone has equal access to the gospel. So we're in about 140 different cities around the world, working in about 150 people groups, doing all kinds of different ministries, medical care and education and orphan care, all kinds of stuff with widows to demonstrate the good news of Jesus. If you want to know more in the impact of your generous giving, just scan that QR code up there. Or feel free to be in touch with us. So many good things taking place. You can just, I don't mind if you point your phone at that right now. I'm going to take a picture of that. You know what I wonder? If Jesus doesn't come back soon, what's going to be said about us in 10 years? What's going to be said about us in 100 years? Will people look back 100 years from now and go, you know what? Because somebody gave back in 2025, they were generous with what they had, and now they're in heaven, that because of that, my family had food during a famine. During the natural disaster, we had medical care. We heard the good news about forgiveness in Jesus Christ because people were willing to sacrifice. I want that to be true in my life, don't you? to say, God, everything I have belongs to you. All of these promises, God, I want to experience them in my life. Friends, you'll never regret it. I'm not asking, you know, sometimes people are like, and this might be your first Sunday at Grace, going, there they go again, talking about money. If you talk to anybody here, you'll say, Jonathan doesn't talk about money like hardly ever. But I'll tell you this, it's not what we want from you, it's what we want for you. Because what I'm talking today is about giving to people around the world who have need. And if we don't show generosity, all of these things that we talk about here that Paul mentions, we're missing out on. I want to be all in. How about you? And friends, I can tell you this, God has never broken one of his promises and he never will. Are you in? Let's ask him to make our hearts more like his. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we just join our hearts together right now in thanking you for giving your life for us, Lord Jesus. What an amazing gift that we were able to celebrate today in communion, that we have forgiveness freely given, a home in heaven, purpose today, your life within us. And so, Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your grace, for giving us so much more than we ever deserve. We honor you today. And we choose to trust you. Lord, would you help us to reflect your generous heart? Would you loosen our grip on our finances? Would you help us to manage them well, Lord, in a way that will say, I've got margin, and I can make a difference and follow through on having a heart like God's. Lord, that's what we want. Make us more and more like you. And may we see your promises come to pass. You're so faithful. Lord Jesus, be glorified in us, we pray. For the sake of your name and for people who need to know about you, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen.